So I'm just going to read verses 1 through 3 in Hebrews. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Father, we thank you so much for these verses. We thank you so much for the words that you give us daily in the Bible. And I pray, God, that we would live our lives for you every day, knowing that the instructions that we have are right here in our laps. We could read your word and we know that it's living and active in our lives. We may know that it pierces our hearts and hurts sometimes, but God, it's for our own good. So I pray tonight that you would open up our hearts and our ears to receive everything that you have for us. I pray it won't be my words, but it would be yours speaking through me, and that lives will change because of your words, and that your Holy Spirit will touch hearts here today and encourage us to do what you've asked us to do. Lord, you've asked each and every one of us to do something for your kingdom, and some of us haven't discovered that, and I pray that tonight will be the night that they will. And of those that have, I pray that you would continue to strengthen them. They would persevere and push forward and do all that you've asked us to do, so that many will get saved, so that many will know that our Father in heaven is real and wants to give good gifts to his children. And with those gifts, we pray that we would give it back, and that others will see why we have these gifts. It's because God has blessed us to show others that they could have the same as long as they surrender to you, Lord. So tonight, God, I pray that you would speak loud and clear and be glorified. We love you and praise you. Amen. So the year was 2006, almost a year after my family moved here from California. October 28th at that, it's a Saturday, last Saturday of October. What happens the last Saturday of October? Joy of Jesus, yes. And the whole time we're here, the whole year, we hear about it. And some of you has never experienced Joy of Jesus, and you've been hearing it as long as you've been here in the announcements and people talking about Joy of Jesus being our big thing. And so we would hear about it and know that it was the big event that Calvary Chapel of San Antonio would throw. Well, prior to October 28, 2006, in the summer, Pastor Ron approached me and my wife and told me, or asked me, or told me, that God told him that I was going to be the worship leader of this church. And so pass on all the way to October. I said okay to God. Yeah, I'll go and do it. October 28, 2006 comes, and that's the first time I get to play with the worship band, the Sunday worship band. And mind you, if you knew me back then, if you haven't heard, if you knew the story, I only knew four chords. And so you got the four chord song going on with the band. And so my thing is, fear is like sinking in. You know, October 20, I had rehearsal with the team, and really, when I think about it, it made it sound like wah, 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 wah. When I was telling them, guys, could you wah, 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 and they're like, whatever, right? So anyways, we got to rehearse, and it comes, and it's time to play, and, you know, it was like a blur, you know. We were able to worship God, and I wish I could remember how it went. I just went by quickly, and it, before I knew it, it was done, you know, and Pastor Ron comes running up. He has ear to ear, smiling. He's like, oh, thank you, Lord. It worked. You know, he tells a story that he had no idea how it was going to sound, you know, and I don't know how it sounded, maybe, you know, but it was a blessing. But that's not why I'm talking about that. You know, it was the fear, you know. Then afterwards, I have to talk to these people. I have to walk around and witness to these people. You know, okay, I got to sing, and now I have to witness to these people. And God tends to just push you, you know. And if you deny the push, right, if you say, oh, no, I can't talk to that person. And if you go, and I encourage you to go, you'll feel that push. You'll see someone sitting there eating a burger or just sitting there alone, and God's going to tell you, you need to talk to that person. And that was my fear that day. You know, I go, who am I to speak? You know, first, you know, I'm going to play music. Okay, I'm good. I did my job. But God was saying, you need to talk. You know, and so that day went on, and the blessing was you're able to speak to people. And then the day ends, you know, and then you're tired. But it's a good tired. So you speak to people, and then your life is a witness to them, okay? And around you, you will see so many others doing exactly what they're called to do, which brings us to the first verse of chapter 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. You know, we could look at this, and we know in chapter 11 is the Hall of Faith, the Old Testament heroes, the giants. So it's talking about them, right? It's saying we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. And so automatically, if you don't really know and you're reading this, you think of the Jedi Council, right? And they're in a big circle and they're like, look at those people doing the good work of God, right? No, that's not like that. It's not. They're not. It's their witness. Their lives that bear witness to us, you see? And so we know in Hebrews that the writer, the author is talking to Hebrew believers that are getting persecuted, and now it's like, well, they're getting pulled away and going back to their old religion. Well, the author is telling them, guys, look at these people, these faith giants, look at them. They bear witness to you that whatever they had faith in, it was God, of course. You see their lives later on, what happened? That's the great cloud of witnesses that surrounds you, and you could do the same. And for us, how does it apply to us? There are faith giants all around us, right? So like I said, when we're a joy of Jesus, you're surrounded by your brothers and sisters that are sitting next to you, those that you sit next to on Sunday. What blows me away is that sometimes I'll be seeing someone at Joy Jesus. I'm like, man, I had no idea you could cut hair. You know, I had no idea you could do makeup like that. I had no idea you could fix bikes. You will be blown away by the different people, the cloud of witnesses that are around you. And so how does that work? They see it in your lives. They see you doing what God has asked you to do. And so when you do that, others are encouraged. Those that are scared, like I was that day. I'm watching Pastor Juan doing what he's called to do and encouraged by that, you know. And so I'm surrounded by so many faith giants. Pastor Juan is a hero to me. And he'll probably be shaking his head in the front row going, starting the school. Starting a free clinic. Faith, we hear this, it's his faith. Having me teach tonight. That's faith, Pastor Ron. Woo! Pastor Ron, yeah, you have a lot of faith. But faith, we're surrounded by so many. If you say, you know, I'm not one of those faith giants, I can't be that. You are. You're sitting here. You want to get fed. And so when you get fed by the Word of God, when you get fed by the Holy Spirit, it's tugging at your heart to do something. Your life will be a witness. Your life will encourage others. And so that's what it's saying here. You're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And in our time, it's right here. It's all around you. Have you be the encouragement to them. Our lives will bear witness to others everywhere we go. The next verse says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. This tells us that we are able to throw off whatever gets in the way of our walk and slows us down. And of course, we know that Jesus has removed our sins because of his blood. Basically, it's asking us to repent. Every time we do something wrong, we know that we're asked to repent. As believers, I'm speaking to the choir, right? We're supposed to repent when we do things bad. But there are things, there are sins in our lives that we don't take notice. And again, it's fear. It's fear of what God has asked you to do. And fear could turn into sin because God's telling you to do something and you don't because of fear. You see, and we're supposed to throw off those things because it's weight, it's heavy weight. And we know that God's supposed to take that. God has told us that he could take that weight off our shoulders. Repenting, Acts 3:19 says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. You see, fear hinders. Sin hinders. It paralyzes us. But it says here at the end of that verse, times of refreshing may come from the Lord. As long as we throw that off, as long as we say, you know, Lord, I'm a mess. The fear that I have is not from you. The enemy doesn't want me to do this stuff. God wants me to do this. So, Lord, I repent for being fearful. I repent for allowing this sin to hinder my walk with you. And I'm going to allow you to push me. Now, I'm not going to ruin a movie I just watched this week. It's called Woodland. And if you saw it, there's a scene. I'm not going to ruin the movie. There's a scene where Tony Nathan, the running back, you know, he gets put in the game finally, right? And everybody's saying, this guy could run. He could run. So he goes into the game, and sure enough, he can run. He's fast. But he runs out of bounds. And so they're saying, he's scared to get hit. He doesn't want to get hit. Football, you're going to get hit. So again, they hand it off to him again. He jukes around, and then he runs out of bounds again. And so the coach grabs him and says, come here, boy. Come here. This is football. You're going to get hit. Now, if you don't get hit, you won't know how it feels, will you? Well, go out there and get hit. So this is my favorite part of this scene, is that he runs, and then he gets hit. Boom. And as soon as he stands up, he smiles. He smiles. It's like, okay, that's how it is. You like that, Caleb? How does that feel, Caleb? Caleb knows how to get hit right and stand up and smile. So he, and there it is. You know, how will you know? The fear, that's what he had. It hindered him. And so if he continued to run out of bounds, it would be like, forget it, man. Put back the other guy. You know, and that's it. We're going to get hit. Sin's going to continue to pound us every day. But you know what? And the enemy's going to say, you're weak. But as long as we say, Lord, I repent, I'm not going to let this hinder me. I'm not going to let this get in the way what you've asked me to do. Because, guys, when we're going about life every day, God points things out to you. And you know, the Holy Spirit's telling you to do something. You're like, ugh. And then someone else does it for you. Like, oh, thank you. That wasn't me. You know, but God asks you to do that. The next verse says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. cross country. You know, my son runs that. Miss Michelle coaches it. You know, they run the race, you know, and they see it, you know, and they have to persevere. Here in this part of the verse, it says, not only are you entering the race and running it, but you keep running it, finishing it, and winning it. 1 Corinthians 9:24. It says, Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. That's our walk every day. When we feel defeated, we need to persevere and keep going. You can't finish if you stop. I mean, it's black and white. If you stop, you can't finish. You know, back when my son was in third grade, he played for a baseball team. And this is one of these facing the Giants stories. And perseverance, you know, and throughout the season, it was one of those seasons where you started seeing the ugliness of parents and ugliness of just competitive sport. And our kids, my son would see it and be discouraged. And what we would tell him is, don't worry about it. Just keep on going. Just keep doing what you're doing, you know? Because if you let it defeat you, it was showing your play. And so the season goes on, and there's one foe. It's the Cardinals. And, you know, they're just bullies. Even their parents were bullies. And they would have some guy, one of the parents would stand in the backstop and say, swing, go swing. And we're like, what? The kid, you know. And we couldn't say nothing. We're like, oh, just let him be. And they dominated the league. You know, mind you, these are 8 and 9 year olds, you know. And so these 8 and 9 year olds were telling Matthew, just persevere, don't worry about them. And so the end of the season comes, and we finish around second place, but we make the tournament. The kids make the tournament, and there's three leagues part of this tournament. And we're already, you know, we're going, you know, our kids, they do their best. If we make it past the first round, great. And so they make it past the first round. We're like, all right, good. Well, they make it past the second round. And so we get to the semifinal, and we're playing the Cardinals. And so it was one of those things that it was a Friday night, actually. And so we didn't get to come to Friday night service. And so they had the game, and people knew. We asked people to pray. Could you pray for our kids? They're playing tonight. Oh, we'll pray for you. Anyways. Why? Oh, this team is brutal. You know. Anyways, they go through the game, and man, we're close. In fact, we come to the last inning, and we're down by 2. You see? And so and then it's such a Cinderella story. 2 outs, and Micah James comes up to bat, and he gets on base. And he gets the second. Oh yeah, we can get this. We can tie. And so, make a long story short, we tied it. And we're like, man, we could actually win this game. You know? We did. No, they did. You know, I was one of the coaching staff, but they did. They won. But that wasn't the finals. You know, that wasn't the championship game. We come back here. You know, and I remember telling Matthew, see, you persevere, you keep going, you keep doing what you're told to do, and don't worry about what they say, you're going to win. Or you may lose, but you won today. So they come up here, and one of the dads is teaching. And Matthew and Micah goes up to Daddy, and they're like this, and, so, son, how did you do? We won. And everybody here, it was such a blessing. They were like, you guys won? Really? And so we were telling them, yeah, tomorrow morning is the championship game. We're going to play the championship game. We don't know how it's going to turn out, but we're going to play. It's So the next day comes, and here's perseverance. This was the blessing. We start the game, and the way the field sits, it's like lower, and there's like a hill. And right before the first pitch, I start seeing heads coming over the hill, like heads, and more heads. It's the church. The church is coming over the hill. Cloud of witnesses. They're going over the hill to watch this little league game. Perseverance. The race marked out for us. And so he has to pitch. And there's a time in the game where the other team starts arguing about his pitch count. Because in Little League, that you're supposed to only pitch a certain amount. And they're going, well, that, from what we see, he pitched last night. He can't pitch more 25 more pitches. Well, he's got 25 more pitches. Let him pitch 25 more pitches. And so this whole time, they're taking it up with the umpire. And I see Matthew sitting on the mound or the grass, and he's picking the grass and he's throwing it. And I'm not the manager, so I asked the manager, can I go talk to him? Sure. So I go run out to him and I go, let's pray, Matthew. You're called to do something great. If you lose, it's okay, you know, but do your best. That's it. Don't let this bother you. You know, this is childish. Just you and the catcher. Okay, you and the catcher. I said, yes, Dad. And then he pitched the rest of the game, and they won, right? And so, you know, they win this game, and it taught me so much. You know, these kids, they went through so much that year because of adults, you know. And I tried my best not to pressure him. And he saw that perseverance, pushing through, finishing the race. And he carries that with him when he runs with the cross country. Now, there is perseverance in James 5, 7 through 11. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. And that's it, the perseverance. We see that God's compassion is always full. It's always abundant. His mercy is abundant. And then if we let bumps on the road of life get to us, and we don't persevere, we fail. But we can only accomplish that here in verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. This confirms that when we throw off the things that hinder, it allows us to be focused on Jesus and Jesus alone. But this particular Greek word is look, you know, fix your eyes, look. Afaro. The word literally means to stare in awe and admiration. That's how we're supposed to look at Jesus, with awe and admiration every day. And when we focus on that, as we learned with Gail Irwin a few weeks ago, when we focus on other things rather than ourselves, it keeps us from sinning. When we focus on others' needs rather than our own, it keeps us from sinning. Because we can wake up in the morning and look at ourselves and say, oh, horrible, you know, and sin, just what am I going to do today? And you start thinking and thinking, and then sin starts creeping. But when we set our eyes on Jesus and we are in awe of him and that we are focused on others rather than ourselves, it keeps us from sinning. Now, others, you may blame others. Well, I'm sinning because that person made me stumble. Well, then you pray for them. Psalm 25:15 says, my eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. There it is. He's the only one that will release us if we are focused on him. And this verse blows me away every time. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. This verse as believers should cause us to give thanks every day. Thanks to Jesus as he was in pain. The joy set before him, you and I. He endured it, knowing in Matthew 26, he's praying that maybe, just maybe, the Father will take away this cup from him. He's in dire pain in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26:39, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not my will, but your will be done. The joy set before him as he endured the cross. If we look at this verse every day and say, the joy, he's talking about me. I am his joy. I am the reason why he did this. The joy set before him is me. It's you. It's the past believers. It's the future believers. It's everyone in this world. As long as we accept pain, we don't want to go through it. And I like to relate this to labor pains. You know, Jesus knew that there was an awesome prize at the end, salvation for us, his children. Labor pains, there is an awesome prize at the end in kids. Sometimes, no. My wife endured it 4 times, and I have 4 joys. I prayed before we got married that I wanted 4, and she didn't. So I could relate this joy set before her to our last son being born. Oh, she knows how it feels already to have a baby, and I'm looking at her, and she's going through a lot. And those moms that have gone through it, I commend you. That is tough work. So she has the baby, you know, Mochi, our youngest, who's 5 now. And I'm looking at her, and she has the medicine. She's all medical. She's on drugs. And so she looks at me with joy. Baby just, I'm telling you, as soon as Timothy came out, she looks at me, she goes, I want another one. We haven't had one yet. But joy, that's joy. How do you find joy in that kind of pain? You find joy in the baby. You find joy in what life that just came out. Jesus found joy in life when he endured the cross for us. That's hard to imagine, especially when you read what he went through. You know, the movie doesn't give it justice. He got beat up, and you see how bad he was beat up, but it was worse. And then if you consider that, if you consider him enduring the cross and saying, that's the joy he's talking about? Yeah, It's the joy that he knows at the end will come salvation. Then after that, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Having triumphed, he now sits in eternal glory next to the Father, Jesus. We know this happened after he appeared to many after crucifixion. His resurrection sealed the deal for us. Mark 16:19, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. That's amazing. Majesty, our King. Verse 3, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men. We're considering Jesus, knowing that there is so much opposition. He faced it right then and there. He faces it. We face it every day. And we consider the price Jesus paid for us. Life takes a whole different perspective. If we consider every day what he did for us, just because people hated him. Because some people hate us because we love him. We'll come in contact with many who won't like what we share with them at the park later next week. And it's all about Jesus. That's what it's about. And they're not hating you, it's they're hating him. And the last part of that verse, it says, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We could look to what he endured. We could look to everything that he's done for us and know that we are his joy. And then he's doing this so that we won't grow weary and lose heart. Revelation 2:3 says, you have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. It's all there. We don't give up. So in the beginning it says, we are encouraged of this in this chapter 12. We're encouraged by all that is around us. The witnesses, your cloud of witnesses, your sphere of influence, your brothers and sisters in Christ here in this church and believers that are out there in the world. Don't let sin get in the way of your walk with Jesus. Don't let fear cause you not to do what God has done, asked you to do. Focus on Jesus and others, it says, rather than ourselves. What will happen if they deny me? Well, they just deny you and get mad at you for talking about Jesus. That's probably the worst thing they'll do, or they might tell you to be quiet. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next person. And then, a joy in your service because of Jesus's pain. And then, in turn, his joy for us. And then, have hope through your perseverance. You have hope in Jesus. So the reason why I chose these verses, it encouraged me for our upcoming joy of Jesus. And this is why I brought up the fact in 2006 that I was fearful. And many of us may be of the different things. Well, what will they say? Or are we safe down there? Are we going to get in trouble with people? Well, we've been doing this for years, and God has blessed it. Now, I'm going to share the blessing that when we give, when we bless, because we're just giving, we shouldn't expect anything back. In fact, we don't do joy of Jesus so that people will come to church here. I mean, that's downtown. The odds of those people coming here was slim to none. So we're not trying to grow the church. We're just, like Pastor Juan said, we're just trying to share Jesus. Last year, in particular, I got a letter from a guy named Jeff. And He wrote it almost a month afterwards, and I'll read some of it. It says, "Hello, Mr. Elaine and family. This is your buddy from Travis Park Festival. I'm so grateful that for that event and very grateful and blessed that you went out of your way to spend that afternoon with me. It was an amazing day. Thank you. You made an impressive stand with me. I'm still at Haven for Hope. Yuck. Outside of the concrete, however, after 2.5 weeks, things are moving forward. I start my job today. I'll be waiting tables at the Lone Star Cafe at the Riverwalk. It was the first place I applied, and I was hired on the spot. At the end, I'm not going to read the whole thing. He says, and this one was cool. He says, how are the third graders? Ha. You know, because I told him, he goes, what is it you do? I said, I teach third graders at the church academy. Wow, could you handle them, kids? I said, believe it or not, I can. And they're wonderful. So that's why he said, ha. So he says, peace to you and your family, Jeff. And you know, you don't expect these things. You don't expect people to look for you, especially this guy. I remember after talking to him, he kind of just was like, oh, thanks, you know. And then he kind of looked at me and goes, if I wanted to go to your church, where is it? So I gave him the address, you know, and he never did show up, but he sent this letter. And one more. 2 years ago, I received a card, and it was from a man named Rudy. And he was at a Joy of Jesus, and I sat next to him. And the reason why he caught my attention is because he was wearing a San Diego Padre hat. And so I sat next to him. I said, so, you a Padre fan? He goes, no. I said, okay. He goes, I just found this, and now I'm wearing it, you know. And so I spoke to him, and it turns out that he's a believer. He is a believer. And this is what's going to happen at Joy of Jesus, guys. You're going to run into so many that says, I know what you're talking about. I know that. I grew up in the church. They may finish off the verse that you're reading to them. He was one of those guys. But I kept talking to him, you know. And so I receive, he started telling me, you know, I write down my dreams. Is it okay if I share you my dreams sometime? I said, sure. And that's what he sent me. He sent me letters upon letters about his dreams. But in the card, he says, may God bless you and a reminder what this day means to us. One that come, I tell, to tell us who and who he is. Elaine and family, God, Jesus loves you and all you do. May God bless you and your family. Rudy. To finish off this story, he was a guy that just got out of jail. He said he had fear because he was in there for a long time. And the fear was getting back in society. You don't think of those things, you know. He told me that he had no idea there were different things that could a technology that was there. In fact, he said to me that God spoke to him and said, tell your daughter to bring a camera when you get out, and I'm going to give you a promise. Bring a camera. So he writes to his daughter, and he says, bring a camera. And he's thinking Polaroid, you know. He's like, she brought a phone. And the phone takes pictures. I said, yeah. He's like, I had no idea they could do that. Anyways, she comes. He's walking out. And you won't be able to see it. He sent me the picture. And it says, promise he would be with me. It's a rainbow. This is the penitentiary. His daughter took a picture of that rainbow with her phone. and he said, this is his promise, he would be with me. Now, who are we blessing? We're witnessing, I get this, and I'm blessed. You'll be blessed if you share. You'll be blessed if you let go of the fear and you do what God has asked you to do. I got to share this with the kids that same week, and I was just a mess like this again with them, and they saw the hand of God move. And it's those kids that's going to encourage you when you go out there. You're going to see them kids going up to people, handing out tracts, hygiene stuff, and they're not scared. You'll see youth praying with people out there. They'll blow you away. Don't miss out. So, guys, joy of Jesus. A week and a wake up from today. Guys, if there's anything that's hindering you in your walk with him, whether it's sin that's entangling you, fear, there's going to be the pastor's class up here. In fact, could I have them up? They're going to be up here to pray with you guys. Take up your prayers with them. If you're not a believer in Jesus, these guys could lead you in a prayer that will lead you to him, every one of them. So if there's any issues in your life that you may have, any one of these brothers and sisters could pray for you. Father,